Now, we have a, we were on the ministry circle. Let's talk just a little bit more about the ministry circle. Those in this specialized ministry also do training. They train the members in how to do Bible studies. They train the members in how to do home Bible studies or one-on-one Bible studies. They train the members in how to do conversational evangelism. They train the members in all of these things that we've talked about doing. So they are also the trainers. We do not do enough training in the church, in my opinion. We don't train people well enough to do what we want them to do. We do some training for people who are going to teach our classes sometimes, but we don't train our members enough in how to do the things we want them to do. And so this ministry, people in this ministry are going to be thinking about how do we train people. We want to, this ministry says we want people who are trained in how to do one-on-one Bible studies so that if a member has a friend and says, do you have somebody who can teach a Bible study for me and my friend? Yes, we have somebody ready to go. They are encouraging people to do home Bible studies and other things. So they're not only the core for following up with visitors and non-members and all these things we've talked about, but they are also the heart of training the congregation for evangelism. That's this ministry circle. Now let's move next to the friendship evangelism circle. Friendship evangelism. Those who study evangelism in all churches say that the vast majority of those who become converted to a church come because of a friendship relationship. That's where most of them come from. That a friend brought a friend to church and that caused them to be more interested in that church, and eventually that person is converted to that church. That most of it happens through friendship. Well, if that's the case, we better take advantage of it, hadn't we? So let's teach our members how to do friendship evangelism. Now here's the core of friendship evangelism. This may surprise you a little bit, but those who study it say, here is the way to get members to do friendship evangelism. You say to the congregation, you select one or two friends or one or two families on which you want to concentrate. You don't work on 30 friends at one time. You pick one or you pick two. And you focus on those two. And every day you do these things. Every day you pray that God will open doors for you, that that person will have a receptive heart. You pray about that relationship every day. Number two, every day you ask yourself, what could I do today that would just move that relationship one step further? Maybe it is calling your friend and say, let's go shopping, okay? Maybe you call that friend and say, let's go to the ball game. Maybe you call that friend and you say, can we have coffee today? Maybe you call that friend and say, we're having something special at church next week. Would you like to go with me? But every day you're asking, what could I do today that would move that just a little bit further? And so you're focusing on one or two, and you're moving that relationship forward a little bit every day. Then you become creative about thinking of ways you can foster that relationship. You think of things to do. Maybe you think of a vacation. Maybe the two families could take a vacation together. And while you're on vacation, your family goes to church. What are they going to do? They're going to go with you. You think of things to do that will bond you with that friend. And so you're very intentional about friendship evangelism. And through that contact, eventually you can get at the church is having Friends Days, and you say to your friend, we're having a special day for friends, will you go with me? The church is having some special seminars on different topics. That gives you a chance to say to your friend, would you come with me today to this event? Maybe even the church is having a work day. And you say to your friend, would you come with me to that work day? And here's the good thing about that, you see, that friend is going to come. And it's not a sermon, it's not anything about Bible study, but that friend comes and sees other members of the church and gets to know some of the other people, and that makes them a little more comfortable about knowing those people. And so you have a workday church, or you have a workday in the community, and you say to the friend, would you come with me, and as we go to clean up a playground at a school, yeah, I'll come do that. So there you are, and there are other members of the church, and you're getting your friend involved. And so you become, what's our word? Intentional. You become very intentional about things you do with that friend so that you are developing that relationship and you're thinking about every day, how can I move that relationship further along and get that person just a little bit closer to Jesus today? And eventually then that friend, because of their relationship to you, will respond by coming to some church event, by coming to a service, by having a Bible study, and you move it along, and you have to use good judgment about how fast to move it along and what things to do and what would be too much and what's not enough, and you're thinking, but every day you're asking, what can I do today to make this a little bit stronger, this relationship stronger? Tie them to somebody in the church maybe you like to play games at your house. I don't know what games you play, but maybe you play Scrabble or you play, I don't know what games you play, but anyway, but you're going to have some people over to play games, so invite your friend to come. And they begin to know some members. Maybe you play golf. We have a golfer here. Maybe you play golf, and you say to your friend, would you come with me to play golf? And you have, maybe it's a foursome, and you have three members of the church and your friend. And they begin to, you want to be sure and tell your friends how to act when they hit a, don't hit it where they meant to. So breaking clubs over your knee is not the way to bring people to Christ. So I know a congregation that has, they have a golf tournament every year. And the deal is, you try to bring a friend to play with you in the golf tournament. And they meet your friends, and they're with you a little bit, and they're seeing some people from the church, and they have lunch together when it's over, and the preacher says a few things at lunch, just a little encouraging message. You know, it's amazing how when you begin to set your mind to it, how many creative things you can think to do when you really begin to think about it. So this group for the ministry is thinking about all these things and training people and getting the members to be involved in friendship evangelism. And this really is one of the most important circles, because it's all, you know, we've talked about public information, the church needs to be well known, help the church to be known. Christian living, everybody's living like they ought to live, and that's attracting people. We've talked about conversational evangelism, how every time you have the opportunity, bring up the church or something that happened at church, something young people are doing in your conversations. You've got this ministry. Now all these things are feeding down into friendship evangelism. And that leads us to the next circle, which is teaching. The time, you know, all of this leads down to the point where you've got to have the teaching. And so you have people who are ready to do the teaching. Now you train your members so that they can be teachers. All of those who can become teachers. Shouldn't every member of the church know how to explain the gospel story to somebody? Is that asking too much that every member of the church could sit down with somebody and say, let me tell you about the gospel story? In this book, chapter 2, is a little simple way that everybody can learn. Kids can learn it. High school can learn it. To share the gospel story with people. Everybody ought to be able to do that. But there may be some who would feel more comfortable in having somebody else to teach their friend or teach somebody who's visited. And so you have some who are really prepared for that, are ready to be teachers. They're ready to go. And they want you to be asking them to teach a Bible class. And so you've got one-on-one opportunities. And then you try to have people in the church who are having home Bible studies like this. Four couples get together and they say, okay, let's have a Bible study. And the four of us will commit ourselves to saying, every week we will bring somebody who's not a member to this Bible study. Hopefully the same person every week, but some way we'll bring somebody who's not a member to this Bible study. Now, we're going to work hard at that. And we'll meet at the home of one of the families. We'll share bringing refreshments. Maybe somebody in one of the families will be the teacher, or somebody we'll bring in will be the teacher. And for 13 weeks, we'll have a home Bible study. And we'll study something that we think would be useful and productive and easy for somebody from the outside. And we'll work to bring them every week, and we'll have a home Bible study. On my website, I have a little guide for a 12 or 13-week study of the book of Matthew, for example. It's not the whole book of Matthew, but it takes slices from the book of Matthew for a study like this. And the first slice is the birth of Jesus. Why is that a good place to start? Everybody knows about it. They're familiar. It's not threatening. It's easy. They know about it. They can participate in it, you know, birth of Jesus. The next slice is the baptism of Jesus. Okay? Begins to introduce the idea of baptism, but not threatening anybody, not anything that anybody's going to be offended by. Jesus' temptation. Then a couple of slices out of the Sermon on the Mount, and then a slice about miracles Jesus did. And, you know, so on through like that until finally you come to the crucifixion. And the last lesson is, what out of Matthew would be the climax of this study? The Great Commission, okay? Go make disciples and baptize them. And you're going to study about baptism. So you just take these slices out of Matthew. And that makes a good home Bible study. So if you go online and you go to my page, which is www.oc for Oklahoma Christian, oc.edu/faculty/stafford.north, you'll find my page, and you can find that very brief outline, but that's to that home Bible study. Well, you need to have people who will do these home Bible studies. So you're through friendship evangelism, you're getting some people to study. Through these home Bible studies, you're reaching out to people to study. And so all of that then is the teaching circle. You may want to do some special things in the teaching circle. There's some churches, for example, who reach out to people by helping them learn English. We have, at Oklahoma Christian, we have 150 students from other countries, other nations, some of whom, they all have to have some English, but some of them really want to work on their English. And so on Wednesday nights at our church, we have people who teach them English by studying the Bible. Okay, so there are people sitting around all around the church building, out in the lobby and wherever, you know, sitting down with people, and they're studying English by studying the Bible. And some of those people are brought to Christ. So that would be a way of teaching the gospel. Maybe you do it with jail work. My wife's very involved in jail work. She has done more time than most criminals. She's been involved in jail work for 30 years now, and she has an artificial knee. And when she goes through the security to get on the airplane, why, you know, they give her special attention. So she goes through and they pull her off, and this woman has on her gloves and rubs around and puts them in the machine, and it's positive. And she gets all excited and she goes to get somebody else, and this woman takes her off in another room and does it again and puts them in there. This time they're okay. So they say, well, we're kind of sorry. Joanne says, listen, I go worse than that twice a week when I go to the jail. So you may want to do a jail ministry as a place to find people who will be receptive. We have a jail ministry in our congregation, and it reaches out to lots of people. They let us baptize once a month, and we baptize usually 12 or 15 people a month in our jail ministry. Now, all of them aren't faithful, but some of them are. We've got some very strong members at Memorial Road who came to us from our jail ministry. And so you look for ways to teach, and maybe it's in the jail, maybe it's in some kind of recovery program. We have a Celebrate Recovery program that is invites people who have a habit or a problem or some kind of a difficulty, and they come on Friday night. There's over 100 of them that meet, and they share their stories, and they encourage each other, and we baptize people through our Celebrate Recovery program. So there are all kinds of ways to reach out to find opportunities to teach. Some churches like to have what they call a seekers class, either on Sunday morning, instead of people who aren't members going to a Bible class where they may be where it may be a little too advanced for them. So they have this seekers class. It's a church in Little Rock that has a seekers class. They have over 200 people in their seekers class. And the rule is that their members can't attend unless they're bringing somebody who's not a member. And so some are members in that class, but many of them are not. And they come and they're part of that seekers class. And they come and study things that are a little different than you would have in your Sunday morning Bible class for your members. So here's a way in which they're being taught, and people are being led to Christ through the teaching that's going on. Well, this is the teaching circle. This is the teaching circle. Now, the next circle is where they are actually brought to Christ, where they are converted. So we teach, and that teaching leads people to make a decision to come to Jesus. You know, we need to learn how to lead people to the point of decision. Sometimes people come to these Bible classes for time after time after time, and somehow they never reach the point of making a decision to come to Christ. Billy Graham used to have a radio program back in the, back before TV. Some of you don't remember before TV. He had a radio program. I didn't agree with all of his doctrine, but I loved the title of the program. It was The Hour of Decision. The Hour of Decision. So we need to bring people to the point of decision. Now you have to do that in the right way. You don't push them too hard. But again, as we said before, sometimes we don't push at all. And they never come to the point of making a decision. So somehow we need to lead them to the point of making a decision for Christ. And so we teach them how to believe in Jesus and to repent and to be baptized. And then we, not only then we convert them, but then we follow up. And that follow-up is so crucial, isn't it? Sometimes we go through all this to bring somebody to Jesus and then forget them. Well, that's not going to work. They've got to have help. They've got to be brought into the center so they aren't on the edge. They need to have friends in the church. They need to be involved in the work. One of the best things is to get them involved in doing something in the church. As soon as they're converted, get them a job to do in the church. Maybe they have a buddy system in which somebody becomes their buddy, and they are that buddy is checking to be sure they're attending and getting with them during the week and things like that. Some churches have a plan by which they have five families, and these five families have a sequence of things that they will teach a new member. And so family one invites them for dinner, maybe Sunday night or sometime during the week, this week, and they teach them about a certain topic. And the next week, the next family invites them to their home, and they study and visit. And the next week, the third family, and the fourth family, and the fifth family. And by then, they know several people in the church. They've gotten acquainted with these five families, and they feel accepted and welcome. And those five families look out for them and notice whether they're at church or not, and so try to make a contact with them. So that's a way of follow-up. But every church needs a systematic plan for following up with converts. Whatever that plan is, whether it's a buddy system, whether it's a group of families, whether it's a special class for new members, but every church needs some systematic plan for how they're going to see that those who are baptized into Christ don't wander away. And that's the follow-up plan. Now, what I've outlined for you, did you see the tongue of fire that just landed on me? This is not Pentecost, so I'll move over here, okay? Here's the systematic approach then that every congregation has. You've got a program of public information, being well known and well appreciated and well liked in the community. You're teaching your people how to do Christian living. You're strategic about that. You are saying to them, here's how you live the Christian life in the workplace and at school and in your neighborhood, Christian living. And then you're saying, look, let's all do conversational evangelism, and here's how you do that, and let's practice it, and let's study it, and let's be sure that all of us are doing conversational evangelism. And then you've got a group that really is a core group, a ministry, a committee that's going to be your focus of local outreach, and they're going to be the ones that really manage and strategize about how to get this done and get every member involved. And then you've got the circle of friendship evangelism. You're working on that, helping people to work with their friends. And then you've got the teaching circle and the conversion and the follow-up. And so you've got a plan that involves all of these pieces, all of these pieces. And you put that into effect. And your goal is to get every member to find his or her place in these circles, so that every member is doing something. I heard a while back about a high school girl in a small town said, why don't we take a get well card to everybody who is in our local hospital? It was a small hospital in a small town. And so they bought some cards, and she would have them at church, and the members of the church would sign them, and she would take them and give them to everybody who was in the local hospital. And one of the people in the hospital that got a card was recovering from a heart attack, and he was 80 years old. And he said, you know, it's time that I better do something about my spiritual life. I may not last very long, and I believe I'll go to this church that I got the card from. So he goes there and decides to be baptized. He and his wife decide to be baptized. And they tell the preacher, we want to be baptized, but we want to be baptized next week so our family can come and they can share in this, and maybe that'll influence them in a good way. And he says, well, you sure you want to wait a week? Well, yeah, we think that'll be okay. So we'll be here next Sunday. So next Sunday, here they came, and they had some family members with them. And they were baptized. That afternoon, the preacher got a call. The man had died from a heart attack. That's cutting it a little close, you know. But eventually, several from that family were baptized. Started with a card a high school girl took to the hospital. See, there's something everybody can do. Everybody can find a place. And your job in your church is to get everybody involved some way in this set of circles of local evangelism. Now, here's what we want to do for a few minutes. I want to see, I want to take about 15 minutes and see if you have some questions or observations or examples of some of this that you want to share. Then we're going to take a few minutes to get in kind of smaller groups and I want you to share with people, four or five people in your group, what you want to do about this. What are you going to do? Let's talk about it. What are you going to try to initiate in your congregation? What are you personally going to try to do? We'll spend a few minutes talking about that, and then after that, we'll come back and let some of you share what has been mentioned in your group, and that's kind of how we'll finish out our session here today. So let's take now a few minutes for questions or examples that you want to give of something that fits into what we're talking about. Anybody have a question or a comment or something you would share with us? Okay.
I was talking about when I was baptized in 1949. My father was a member of the church.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't very faithful.
Yes.
And I came forward and they asked my dad if he could let it be at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was afraid that I might not make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think he had the right to tell them we'd wait till tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So I got there. I prayed all afternoon, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's kind of ties with the story we were just telling, doesn't it? Okay. Somebody have a question or a comment or something you'd like to share with us about something you're doing that you think would be encouragement to others. Okay, here we are right here.
Well, I'm a retired nurse.
Yes.
So what I do is visiting most of the sick, and people call me before they call the preacher. And what I do, I like to do is the ones that don't have families in the church, you know, mm-hmm. I especially like to visit them.
Yes.
And then we get conversations.
Very good.
About the church.
That's great. She visits sick, a retired nurse, so she has some good observations for those who are sick. And utilizes that as a way of conversing with them and encouraging them in a spiritual way. Very good. Somebody else.
I'm trying to use some of my technological knowledge to help outreach, which is through some of the social networks like Facebook and Twitter, and of course we have our own website here, and just starting to announce that during my sermons and things, and trying to get people to tell others about it. You know, we'll post our sermons there, and you know, even if they don't come to church, they can maybe listen to a message there and get you know, our times of worship when they can come next time, and an invitation there. So it's one way.
Very good. Back on the public information circle, I should have mentioned websites. I meant to and I didn't, but that's a very important thing these days, to have a very good website for the church. Almost everybody, before they would go to a new church of some kind, would check the website. And the way in which it's set up, the ease with which people can use it and find information, the way in which it appears, all those things are really, really important. And so every church needs to have an effective website.
That's actually how it came to my attention. We had a visitor one Sunday, and she said, you know, the way I found you is on the internet. And that website had been here set up by a preacher before me, and I didn't even know we really had one. And so I looked it up and said, boy, we better update this. And yeah, that's kind of how it got going again.
Very good. Okay. Yes.
You just have to watch when you advertise that on the website, because you might inherit the old publication of the church, and that has different name of the ministers. That also include that when they search. So if you are, you know how to remove that
yes,
page,
sure,
you have to, because it'll confuse the...
Keep it up to date. Yeah, keep it up to date, exactly. Right here.
You mentioned about the teaching part, and that in the book were the 10 pictures. And that's what I use when I go to the jail every week. I've been doing that for years, and it's very effective, and anyone can learn to do it. So learn how to do it and use it. It's a good system.
In the book, in chapter 2, there is a description of a simple way to explain the gospel story, and it's built around 10 pictures. The pictures are something that anybody could draw. A third grader could draw it. It starts with G and a happy face, for example. That's how everything starts. God, G, and people, happy in the Garden of Eden. It's all good. God and human beings are in fellowship. And then the next picture is a face with a question mark, suggesting God gave man choice. What are we going to choose? God said you can choose. You can choose good. You can choose evil. You have the choice. The third one shows an arrow pointing at a big S. What does the S stand for? Sin. What did human beings choose? Chose sin. Adam and Eve chose sin. What have we all chosen? All have sinned. So we've all chosen sin. And it just goes through simple things like that, down through the point of people being baptized and having sins forgiven, and then the relationship between God and man is restored. So it's a very easy way. It's something that you could teach in a Wednesday night class and help people to know, a very easy way that they could explain the gospel story. And the way to do that then is let them practice. Here are two people, let this one teach this one tonight and the other one teach the next night or whatever, you know, and practice doing that. And then people in the church would be able to know how to explain the gospel message. So that's a very important thing for all of us to be able to do. Somebody else, a comment or an example. Okay.
I just, I had a really profound experience when I was in college. It was actually with a high school friend and friend of my parents. But I just want to say not to underestimate the power of Christian living.
Uh-huh.
A friend of my parents had passed away. He was a friend from their church. He suddenly, like, heart attack while he was skiing or something awful like that. And we had a memorial service for him at my parents' church, and it was packed to, I mean, you couldn't get in. You could not get in.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a time for people to come forward and say a few words about this man. And my friend's dad came forward, and he's an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very strong atheist. He came forward, and he was broken up because this was his best friend. And he said, and this was many people said something similar to this, but he just impacted me because I knew him personally, and I know his story. But he was just in tears and said, you know, I just want to, it makes me want to know God better just so I can see Chris again. So I can see Chris again. And there were many people who talked about that. And everybody said, he's such a man of God, he's Christian, you know. So later I asked my mom, because I have a lot of trouble talking to people about God. I do. I'll confess that. I said, how did Chris talk to people? I never met him, but he clearly impacted the lives of so many people that I know. And look at all these people that are here. And how did he talk to God or talk to people about God? And my mom said, well, he didn't. And in fact, his wife was always on his case to him about that. But he lived it, and people knew it because just being around him, they knew.
People
knew his relationship
notice,
with God.
Very good. Yeah, people notice. People often notice more than they let on they're noticing. They see, they know. Even people who do not live a moral life really appreciate a person who does live a moral life. People in business who are honest and fair because they're Christians will be noticed. And other people in business who may not be so honest and fair will think well of the ones who are. And so we need to be really emphasizing Christian living and how important that is and how what a magnet that is to people when we do that. Now we can't, there comes a point where we have to do more than just live it before them. We have to teach them, but often that is the way to get the door open and to plow the ground. It's with Christian living. Very good. Okay. Somebody else a thought. Okay. Back, go ahead. Yes.
Smile will do.
Yeah.
A smile is the best door opener.
Yeah. 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 Very good. Smile and be kind and be helpful. That makes a strong impact on people, and they notice it. They're aware of what's going on, and they will do. They can do a lot of good.
I think you hit on an interesting subject, of course, of building friendships with people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can build friendships with people, as the last gentleman was saying, and what a smile will do, and kind of personality we portray, of course, you know, like Philippians 4, you know, rejoicing in the Lord, having a good positive attitude, and then letting people know by, as Jillian said, their Christian living, and standing fast for the word. And because everybody has a point in their life, I believe, that they want to know something about God. And if they know you're a religious or spiritual person, they may not ask you right away, but when the time comes in their life, they have a question, you know, maybe a death of a loved one or sickness of a loved one or something of that nature. They go, yeah, you know, I know, you know, that Josh guy where he goes to church. And then, or if maybe even something in the news, you know, when the gentleman... you know, a few months back was proclaiming that the end of the world was going to happen.
Yes,
and he had the date there. And he goes, yeah, I know, Josh. He's all, Josh, what do you think about that? You know, what, you know, I know you study this stuff. What do you think? Is he right? Is the end of the world coming?
Right,
and I go, you know, I just You know, Matthew 24:36.
Sure.
But, you know, no one knows.
That's right.
So if a person says they know, they're wrong. And he goes, yeah, that's good. You know, so it may not be all the time. It may just be a specific instance. But, I think people will have a time in their life when they are concerned about God. And
right.
Building that relationship and letting people know that you'll be there for them is, mm-hmm. I think, key. But, you know, like you said earlier.
Yep, very good. Somebody else.
I like to do is when I talk to my friends, family, get specific about, to attract them to Jesus. Is I'll talk about how sometimes, during the day things can get stressful. But what helps me out is when it does get stressful, the stress is going to be there either way. So I like to, pray to God, praise God, and, a couple minutes later, 10 minutes later, I'm laughing again,
mm-hmm.
Instead of letting it get through the whole, the whole day down, Because that's very easy to happen. And being specific like that with my friends and family, they pay attention to that,
Yes.
And they watch us, they watch us see what we're how we deal with everything.
Sure.
So,
sure.
I think those are good examples.
Very good, yeah. Leaving it before them and then taking advantage of those moments when it's appropriate to say something about spiritual things or an invitation to church or an invitation to a special event. A lot of that grows out of Christian living. What you talked about that you thought might be good to share, just something you said, here's an idea we want to try, here's something I'm going to try to work on. If you got the mic, we might pass that around. It would probably be good. So let's start up here.
Well, we discussed about everything you had on your list here.
Okay, all right.
And we talked about what we could do, and some of the things we came up with was we thought maybe newspaper work would mm-hmm. be profitable.
Okay.
Because our estimation was that we've lost the identity of the church.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know, they just think, well, we're in the Church
another
of Christ
one.
Is another
sure.
denomination. And if we can, the newspapers would probably be very anxious okay. if they could get some free writers, as long as
okay.
we didn't write offensive
sure,
articles.
Sure, sure, okay.
But, of course, some of it would have to be questionable. But yeah. We thought that would be good if we could get something going in a newspaper
okay.
that way.
Good.
An article. And then there was talk about the friendship, of
yes.
course. Of bringing friends, as
mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
spoke of, and making friends, and kind of working on the lobby minister, as you
mm-hmm.
spoke of, that
yeah,
would be
right.
good too.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
And,
right. Okay. All right. Very good.
Well, for the Alvin Drive Church of Christ specifically, because that's where I attend. We've had a lot of members in the past few years that have gone to other churches
mm-hmm,
or have really
mm-hmm.
left, and I thought it might be nice to have a homecoming day or call it a family reunion
mm-hmm,
or something
mm-hmm.
like that and invite them back just to fellowship with us,
good.
Just to get reconnected
good.
And let them
good.
Know we still love them and we miss
sure.
them.
Sure. Okay. Very good. Okay. All right. Let's go back. Oh, you have one more here. Okay.
I just have one thing. We have a rented building, so we don't have a telephone.
Yes.
So we need a telephone. And some ads in the
mm-hmm.
telephone book.
Okay, okay. All right, very good. Josh?
Well, we talked about, Alex mentioned some ideas about trying harder with his brothers of getting them involved in church and going to church.
Mm-hmm.
I brought up an idea of a few years ago, we had a kind of a seminar on Wednesday nights, and it was for it was for like 2 months, I believe, and Randy Grunewald did that. If you guys know Randy, most of us do here. And we printed up these cards, little cards, and it was kind of like business cards, and it says like on their friend, I'm a member
yes.
of the Church of Christ
yes.
in Prunedale, and I believe the scriptures are inspired of God and would like to study the Bible with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a place for your name and your number.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like Romans 16. And on the back, it had the plan of salvation on there. And at first I was really good, of course, I was motivated and did that quite well. And then, of course, as time goes on, you get complacent a little bit about it. So I'm thinking about bringing that back. And also we talked about, you know, just living the Christian life better, because we know we can all do it better. And not just simply not doing the bad things, because, you know, once you've, you know, raised in the church for a number of years, you hopefully have somewhat of a handle on the moral issues. But, of course, the Christian life of standing up for what's right when it's time to stand up for what's right. Just the other day, I was telling him, I had a conversation with the manager there at Margie's Diner, right next door to where you're staying. And she brought up that her friend said something about, yeah, I would go to church, but all there is liars and hypocrites, was basically her sentiment there. And she's known me for about 2 or 3 years, and I said, well, hold on a second, I've been going to church. Am I a liar and a hypocrite? She goes, no, but that seems to be the exception every time I go. And I said, well, I know a lot of spiritual people that are good and are really trying. And I go, just because a person goes to church, they're not saying they're perfect. They're saying actually the exact opposite, that they need the blood of Christ to wash away their sins. And she goes, yeah, I get what you're saying. And so that was kind of good.
Yep, good. Okay.
Oh, my mom talked about of getting some cards with her work and giving them to people when they register and going that route.
Yep. Some materials to hand out. People can share cards, brochures. Every church ought to have some things like that in stock that they teach their members to use. To use well, and that's that can be very good. Very good. Okay, back here.
We just talked about being better at handling visitors when they come and follow up.
Yeah.
Maybe following up with people that has been here previously.
Yes.
And being diligent, not just not talking about past, this, that, or the other. Just deal with the present.
Yeah.
And then doing some follow-up with this, it's the most important thing, I think. Follow-up is
very good.
Is deeper than a well.
Yeah, very good, yeah. But I like your word diligent. It's so easy on these things to say, okay, let's do that, and then we do it once or twice, and then it kind of falls off. It's got to be persistent and consistent and diligent, and start something that follows up with the visitors, and you do it, you just keep doing it every week, every week, every week, every week. That's very, very important. Yes?
And I wanted us to keep the positive and encouraging attitude.
Yeah, good.
Always.
Positive, encouraging attitude. That's great. Okay.
Also, we need greeters at the door.
Greeters at the door. Okay. I want to try doing more with greeters at the door. Let me tell you a funny story about that. We had a kind of a meeting of our preachers and elders and everybody, kind of a retreat sort of thing, and a group was going to illustrate for us what we're going to talk about, things we needed to do in taking care of visitors. And so they did a little skit, you know, and it began when the visitors show up. You're at their car door with a cup of coffee for them. they were overdoing it to try to make the point, you know. That by the time they opened the door, they knew somebody appreciated their being there. And so it was kind of funny. They had a cup of coffee when they opened the door. But anyway, we need to work that really hard. That's very important. Okay?
I guess I'll speak for our group back here. We talked a lot about the way people are greeted. The idea of the coffee mug is perfect, the thing that you don't want to throw away, that will always be in your cupboard. We talked about the packet. I think that's a great way to outreach, because a lot of people might feel you're trying to sell something to them if you hang around them and talk about the church and try to get them to come. But if you have something that you can look at your own leisure, and maybe there's a CD in there that you can listen to, that's a great way. Wouldn't cost a lot to put something like that together.
Correct.
And all of us have talents that we can put into something like that. And the idea of making the visitor feel like they're the center, because I think that's where we really fail, is people feel like they're just on the outside and they're, you know, observing, and we're not making them the guest.
Good.
They're not being the honored person there. And so getting that is real important.
Very good. Let me go back to something that somebody said here about, I think it was you, about letting people know who we are. Who talked about? Maybe you talked about it. You talked
identity,
about that.
Yeah.
You know, I know there are lots of people out there today who are not very interested in religion and who have turned religion off and who aren't on our wavelength. But I want to tell you, there are people out there who are. There are people out there who are looking for a church that wants to do it the Bible way. There are people out there who want that. And we've got to get the message out that says that's who we are. That's what we are. What we do is what the early church did. That's our goal. And that's a saleable product to a certain segment. Now, it doesn't resonate with everybody, but it resonates with some. And we need to do a better job of letting people know, if you're looking for a place where we do it the Bible way, this is it. And through newspaper or through brochures or what the visitor gets when they come or whatever, we need to find the right way, the right tone, you know, not ugly and mean, but the right tone to say, if that's what you're looking for, this is your place. Okay, over here.
Well, we did have one more thing that we used to do that we've kind of let fall by the wayside, and that is going to visit our convalescent homes.
Yeah.
And maybe one or two Sundays a month we can go and sing and have a few songs and a short message. And, you know, maybe they won't be able to come, but, you know, their families are bound
to
hear.
They got family.
Their
you
families
bet.
Are going to hear about it. And, well, that church comes and visits my elderly father or mother. And
that's a very good thing. Mm-hmm. That's a very good thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That goes back to your point, Janet, about if in foster care, it's not just the child, but the people know that child, and they know you're helping. They know you're taking care of that child, and that makes a great impression and opens doors. It's really good. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay, ours falls into the friendship evangelism. Mm-hmm. But this must be under the program of the church, such as annual gospel meeting we have to do here.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, handouts has to be a part of it. And it's just simple. Encourage the members to invite their friends to attend the meetings or seminar. And then after the meeting, we have to encourage our members to follow up.
Yes,
their
yes.
friends.
That's right.
And this is simple as this is what we are doing right now.
Yes, very good. Very good. Well, let me say just a word about that the friendship evangelism and having days, friends days. You know, it's crucial that the whole church be sold on this as a plan, and they've got to be participants in it. And some churches really somehow they've gotten the message out, and their members bring friends, and they use the handouts, and I mean they really do it. In other churches they have a friends day and nobody shows up, and you've got to lay the groundwork for that. You can't just say, well, we're going to have a friends day. You got to prepare the people. You got to have team meetings. you got to get them ready for that. Show them how they can take part and have things they can hand out and maybe demonstrate how to do it. And all, you know, you really got to work hard to make that work. And it can be a great thing if you really get everybody involved. And there's some churches that have done wonderful things with their friends days. And but you got to get them all involved. Very important. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she hadn't gone for quite a while, and my grandmother came and heard Forrest, mm-hmm. and she wanted to try the church up there. And my daughter said, they are so friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going, and they have about 250 people.
Yeah.
They have things constantly for the kids to do.
Yeah.
The kids get together. One night they go bowling together, mm-hmm. or just something all the time. And my granddaughter just went to a camp. with a bunch of kids. And that's stuff like we need to try to start doing. Yeah.
Good. Good.
You never know what kind of influence you can have, even if it's indirectly. You
that's
know?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Someone over here. This group.
Who's the lucky one?
Look back. Yeah. Okay. We talked about Christian living, how we should, living in our community so people will know that we are Christians. And then we talked about going to the hospitals and to the nursing homes, doing the cards and, spending time with them.
Yes.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Okay.
The visitation aspect really is also important, like in the hospital. My wife and I is also went to school for nursing care. She's still looking for a job, and she's volunteering in the hospital, nursing.
Yes.
In the hospital as a volunteer. 2 weeks ago, a couple, husband had a surgery. His stomach is probably, I saw the surgery, and it's so painful, he said, and all that. So we visited this person.
Yes.
Gave him a card. And so I went to read the card. I said, because there might be $1,000 in it, but Jude or something. And I said, no, there's none there. And I just said, get well soon. The next week, he went home 3 days. He go back again for another surgery. He already undergoes three surgeries. His wife is the acquaintance of my wife. You know how the difficulty of taking care of a husband and that and all this insurance and all those. And she's just put into a situation that she's so depressed. Ruth just visited and called her, and we invited her to our home and to eat.
Yes.
And probably we are the person, or Ruth mostly is the most visiting friend there, more than his family. So he come by to our, the wife come by to us twice already and all those. The point I'm making is there are a lot of people who are even sick, Christians or non-Christians. Most of us even doesn't know them. Even they're Christians, we don't know that they're sick, and we don't even care to think, oh, well, visitor, send him a card or something. And that will take a lot of influence to brethren, particularly in their twilight years, that if you receive card for Getwell's home, we pray for you and all those.
Exactly.
In this area, most members are on those, are the elderly, most are the members. Very few congregations who are teenagers and all those are young. So this could be also a good opportunity to really
Very good.
Focus on that too.
Yeah, there's there are many services that you can give to elderly, and in the process, you not only affect them, but you affect a lot of the children of those around them. I know some churches, for example, who have a transportation program for the elderly. If somebody who's older needs a way to the doctor's office or to the grocery store or whatever, there's some people who are retired but are able to do that. And they pick somebody up and they take them to the grocery store, they take them to the doctor or whatever they need. Somebody maybe who's living alone, able to live alone, but doesn't have transportation. Well, when you're in the car driving somewhere, what are you going to do? Tell me what you're going to do.
You're
going to talk. What are you going to talk about? Conversational evangelism, okay? So you tell them about what's going on in the church and whatever, you know, and take them back, and maybe 2 weeks later you take them again, and before long you say, you know, well, why don't you let me pick you up and take you to church sometime? So a transportation ministry for the elderly can be a very, very useful thing, and you know, everybody's got some of those around, I believe. And so you can make good inroads into that family. And boy, I'm telling you, children appreciate what's being done to help their parents. And so you got a way to do some good things. So that's great, yeah. Well, these are all very good ideas. And the key thing now, remember there are two, we started with two basic principles. That there's a common, this whole thing is a combination of things. It's not just the teaching circle. It's not just the conversational evangelism circle. It's the whole package. You need to work to see that your church is doing the whole package. That's when it really gets effective, is when the whole package is being done. And secondly, in the whole package, there's something for every member to be a part of. There's nobody, unless they're on their deathbed, that cannot participate. And even the way you die is going to make a difference, you know. So I would say there's something everybody can do to help be a part of this total package. Now, it's got to be intentional, and people have got to, you've got to have a group that are going to emphasize this. You're going to get together and talk about it. There was a church in Cordell, Oklahoma that said, "We're dying. We've fallen from here to here to here to here in membership." It's a fairly small town in Oklahoma. And they said, "We are going to reverse that. We are going to reverse that." They were down to 50 members. And they said, we're going to get a group that's going to meet every week. Every week this group is going to meet and talk about what can we do to reverse that trend. And they're back up to 75 now because they were intentional about this. They got together and they said, okay, we need to do this and this, and we're going to follow up and see that it happens. It's not just a matter of getting together and talk. We're going to see that it happens. And these were not, they had elder participation, but it wasn't all elders. It was a kind of a cross-section of the members. And so they had various age groups represented and whatever, and they got together every week and talked and visited and discussed and planned and followed up and got with others. And they're reversing that trend of what was happening to their congregation. Well, there are congregations that need that kind of attention. That needs to be going on. And it can be done. And it's not that there aren't people out there that we can reach. We've just got to be smart enough and diligent enough and determined enough to see that it happens. And it can happen. Well, I appreciate very much your being here today and participating in this. I hope you've got some ideas to work with that will be helpful for you, and that you will pursue these things, that you will not let it die in this auditorium, but you will really get out and see that things happen. All right, then any of you that filled out cards that I didn't get, Forrest, will you pick up, here's a card. I want to mention just two more things to you before we go. At Oklahoma Christian University, we have a set of materials out on the internet at a site called www.ebiblestudy.org that has a list of has a set of teaching materials for high school and adult classes. So you can go on this site and you can download a set of 13 lessons on Colossians, or 13 lessons on Leviticus, or 13 lessons on Christian evidences for high school, or whatever. There's about 20 or 25 different sets of material out there. And you can go to that site and download those at no cost. Just print them out. We've had over 60,000 downloads of this material, so it's being used all over the world. And there's a brochure about that out on the table where the books are that gives you a list of those materials and how to reach them and everything. And so maybe your church would say, you know, we'd like to have some good teacher outlines. These are outlines for the teacher. Some of them have along with it worksheets that you can print out and have the students do the worksheets while you're teaching it. Some of them have PowerPoint with them, but they're very useful and being used in lots of places. And so I would encourage you to pick up one of these brochures and take a look at that and see if that would be helpful for you. And I hope we want to send good news to all of you, this good news newsletter, and I hope you'll take a look at that and read that each month. And I think that will be helpful and give you good ideas. And if you come across an idea for a story, I hope you will let me know, because I'm always on the prowl for good stories that we can share of good things happening in the church around the country. If you have an interest in information about Oklahoma Christian, there's some materials out here on the table that you could take and share with a child or a high school student or something. Well, we'd be glad to know those names and put them on our list, and materials out there on the table you can pick up and take to somebody if there's somebody that you'd like to, for them to be acquainted with what we have to offer at Oklahoma Christian. We have very good university, have many majors, engineering, business, languages, Bible, all kinds of accounting. Our accounting students, for example, have the highest pass rate on the CPA exam of any university in the state of Oklahoma. Our admission to medical school is 95%. We turn out a good product, and so be glad for you to think about sending children there, or grandchildren, or in my case, great-grandchildren. And look things over. We have a very fine university, and we'd be glad to send you information about it. Anything further that we need to do this morning? I think that pretty well covers everything. Let's have a closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.